this morning, we're going to think about three things. We're going to think about God's love for us. We're going to think about how we remain in God's love. And we're going to think about our personal response to God's love. When I asked the Lord, what do you want to say to us? What do you want to say to the church? Quite clearly, I heard God say, tell my people I love them. And I was like, that's cool, that is good, that is. And then as I thought about it, I thought, that's really good timing, Lord, because it's the Sunday before Valentine's Day. So it's a really good Sunday to talk about love. And I don't know what you think about Valentine's Day, but I don't think a lot, really. I think it's just all mush and gush and about commercialism, but that's... Don't let me put anybody off if you're thinking of treating your spouse to a romantic meal or getting her a rose or whatever. Don't let me put you off. I'm just saying what I feel. Yeah. He needs your prayer. But you know what? I am going to bless you all with a Valentine card. Could we have it up? There it is. This is a true Valentine card. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Amen. So when you go in Tesco's and you see all that mush and gush around, remember what true love is. This is a Valentine's card. This book is full of the love of God from beginning to end. So when you go away from here today, if you don't take anything else away, take this one thing. God loves you. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know, I wondered what Andrew was going to quote when he quoted a psalm this morning, because we've sang that God's love is enduring, it goes on and on and on, and it never ends. And in Psalm 136, there are 26 verses, and 26 times it proclaims, his love endures forever, forever. And Hebrews 13:5 says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. He is there constantly with us. His love endures. You know, it's so easy to get carried away and romanticize things, isn't it? But God's love is agape love. It is unconditional love. Wherever we are, wherever we're at, he loves us. And Stephen quoted the other week, lo, I am with you always, to the very end of age. He is with us. And Romans 8, 38 and 39. You know, I love the confidence of Paul. He is absolutely convinced that nothing, absolutely nothing, can ever separate us from the love of God. Nothing. That's so good, and it's so true. So we're going to turn in our Bibles, and I've forgotten what page it is, but anyway, it is John chapter 15, and we're going to look at verses 9 through to 17. And I will just read them to you and just soak in the scripture. That's John 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. I think it's a very valid question to ask ourselves: how do we remain in God's love? And in the week, I visited Grace, and we were just chatting Jesus like we always do when we get together. And I told her what I was preaching on today. And she said, "Do you know, I gave my heart to Jesus. I asked him into my heart when I was 10 years old. And she said, "I've been in love with him ever since. I've been in love with Jesus for 82 years. Isn't that awesome? Really awesome. And I told her, that's coming in my preach, Grace. And it's a shame she's not here. But, you know, we see Grace, we see her in a chair, we see her, you know, suffering, but she's still so in love with Jesus. She has remained in his love. You see, his love never fails. He never leaves us. But we're human and we can tend to wander, can't we? And no, we're to remain in his love. And it's something that the Holy Spirit has been on my case about, actually. It's my own devotional life. The course that I'm doing at Spurgeon's, one of the modules was on spirituality. And it was about contemplative prayer, where you pray over the word of God. Just linger over the word and pray over it. And, you know, it was like really good. But the Holy Spirit was on my case, causing me to look at my own devotional life. And he just pointed out to me, don't you just love it that the Holy Spirit is such a good teacher? You know, when our lives are surrendered to him, that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to correct us. He's such a good teacher and he brings correction. Well, I just praise him that he does in my life because I need it. And he began to show me what my morning devotions had become like. And I felt him saying, actually, it's something like you're gobbling down a hurried breakfast. And I would go through my prayers. You know, I'm a creature of habit, and that can have its downside, that you just get into habit and you just do things. I would put on the armour every morning. I'd pray for our eldership every morning. I would pray protection over the whole church every morning, pray for the family, do all the prayers, read my Bible. And because I'm a creature of habit, I have a Bible reading plan I read so many chapters a day. And the Holy Spirit just showed me how familiar I'd come. You know, I just did it. And there's all the demands of the day calling me on. And I was like, Lord, I think I've slipped into a bit of a bad habit. And I knew, you see, God doesn't want religious rituals. He wants our intimacy. He, you know, he wants to share stuff with us. And when I'm just rushing to get on with the day and going through the motions, that isn't intimacy, is it? And I really pondered on this and was thinking about it. And I don't know, you know, you that are parents, and maybe your mum even said it to you, did you ever say to your kids, for goodness sake, slow down, stop gobbling your food, enjoy it, you know? And it was like, that's what God was saying to me. And I believe he would say it to us all. He wants us to enjoy his word. He wants to nourish our spirits from his word, from spending time in his presence. And he really rubber stamped this message to me. Very recently, a friend phoned me and said, can we, she said, I'm going to town this morning, can we meet up for a coffee? And we haven't seen each other for ages. And so I replied by text and said, well, I plan to go to town, but I'm crazily busy, but yeah, let's grab a coffee. So we met up in town. Both of us were time limited because we was in parking. And we was having this catch-up over a coffee. And the Holy Spirit, again, began to speak to me. And I actually shared with her. And I shared with her that I was preaching this morning and where I felt God was taking me. And, you know, that's often our attitude with God. Lord, I'm crazily busy. I've got all this to fit in today, but let's just grab a few minutes. And, you know, I'm only telling you what God's doing in my heart. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want that. He wants our full attention. And as I was thinking about it, I remember when I was a young Christian, one of my favourite scriptures was from Song of Songs, where it says, he calls us to his banqueting table, and his banner over us is love. And, you know, that's all Jesus is doing. Come on. Come on, I love you. Come to the banqueting table. Come and spend time with me. Enjoy my presence. And Psalm 16, verse 11 says, in his presence is the fullness of joy. Why wouldn't we really relish spending time in his presence? And when I thought about that, I thought, you know, maybe, Lord, sometimes when we're lacking joy, the root cause is that actually we're just not spending the time we should enjoying your presence. Could be, couldn't it? And yesterday morning, I don't know whether any of you here read Jesus is Calling. Val blessed me with a little book called Jesus is Calling, which is a daily reading. And there was a bit in there that said about intimacy with God. It says that the journey of intimacy with Jesus is not an easy road. And we know that it isn't. Life isn't all roses, is it? But it is delightful. And it's a privileged way. And it's like a treasure hunt. And Jesus is the treasure. And I was thinking about that. It is so, so true. You know, it is like a treasure hunt. When there's things going on in our life, don't we run after the Lord? Don't we seek after him? Where are you, Lord? Where are you? What are you saying? And this made me think of another of my favourite verses from Isaiah 45, where Isaiah speaks about God giving us the treasures of darkness. And you know, we all go through dark, difficult times, all of us. But his love never fails. He's there. His love never fails. And as we dig, looking for that treasure, we find it. Even in the darkness, we find treasure. Because Jesus is our treasure. He is always there with us. And I don't know how he does it, but I can testify, as I know many more of you here can, that when we do that, somehow, those things that have seemed so dark, he uses, he takes, and he uses. He's just amazing. So, let's look at these verses. I think there are many ways that we can remain in his love, and I've just shared with you, you know, what the Holy Spirit's been revealing to me. But as the Father has loved us, so Jesus loves us. I mean, when you look at this, if you were a parent, would you give your son, would you give your child to be a sacrifice for someone else? No. And if you was a child, would you be that obedient to lay your life down? But that is the love of God. That is the love of God. And when we look at this passage, we can't get away from remaining in our love, being connected with being obedient. And just as an illustration, you know, I could have chosen, couldn't I, to, well, Lord, I've got a busy day. But no, I want to be corrected. I want to be an obedient child. You know, I may be in my 70s, but I'm still a child of God. Amen? It doesn't matter about age. I want to be an obedient child of God. I serve a holy God. I'm so grateful and so thankful for everything he's done in my life. And I want to be pleasing to him. I want to do right by him. Because he deserves it. He's worthy. No one else has ever laid their life down for me in that sacrificial way. And I can guarantee that no one's ever done it for you guys either. So there's something about obedience. And Jesus says, you know, I've told you this so that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full. Now just think about this. Joy is not happiness at all. But it's a delight in God. It's something that only God can give. And I don't know, I just get this picture that when we come as obedient children to him, that, you know, if you've got kids that are rebellious, they're a nightmare, aren't they? You know, they really are. It's hard work. But when your children do things that please you, it gives you joy, doesn't it? It's no different with Father God. No different at all. We bring him joy as we yield in obedience to him. And in doing that, it's not only Jesus that gets the joy, because we feel pretty good ourselves, don't we? You know, it's good to know that you've pleased the King of Kings, I think. And then he goes on, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Well, that can be a challenge in itself, can't it? Because I'm sure all of us could think of someone in our life that is probably hard to love. And maybe you might even think, you know what, Lord, it is impossible. I cannot love that person. But I've got news for you. If Jesus is in your heart, you can. You can love, because what does the Bible say? God is love, and love is dwelling in your heart. You've just got to find a way of drawing that love out and pouring it on whoever God puts in front of you. It isn't impossible to love, guys. Love lives within us, if we've invited him to live within us. And then it goes on to say, you are my friends. But again, there's just that little line that keeps us on our toes. If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Well, how does he make things known to us? He can only make things known to us if we spend time in his presence. And I love Psalm 25, verse 14 says, the Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. And when it says those who fear him, it's not those who are terrified. That fear is awe. When we're worshipping this morning, could you not feel the presence of God? Weren't you in awe of who we're worshipping? And it's when we're in that place that God speaks to our hearts and confides to us. That blows me away. It just absolutely blows me away that God wants to spend time with me and chat with me. You know, we're talking about God, the creator of the universe, wants to spend that time with each one of us. Share heaven's secrets with you, each one of you. It's mind-blowing. Well, I think it is. We can't wrap our head around it. And then he says, you did not choose me, I chose you. Now, everyone sitting here this morning, there's a choice. You know, Jesus loves you and he chooses that every single person in this place will share heaven and eternity with him. But the only way that we can do that is through accepting Jesus and the work that he did on the cross. And I'm telling you that this morning, you know, God is wanting to fill our hearts with his love. And I don't know whether you've ever received Jesus into your life. I would suspect that most of you have. But there may be some that haven't. Well, this is a day when you can do it. And you will never, ever regret the day when you give your heart to the Lord. Thinking of Valentine's Day again, I'm taking it back because you can't miss it. Everywhere you go, there's blooming hearts and red roses and goodness. Remember, Jesus gave his life that you might spend eternity with him. There's no other way. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father. We can't get to heaven any other way but by believing that Jesus died for our sins on the cross. He chooses us. Every single one of us. His desire is that no one should go to hell. And, you know, it's a word that we don't like to talk about, but it's real. You know, heaven or hell. Jesus or not. That's just the bottom line of where it is. When you think of what Jesus suffered on the cross, it's really hard, I think, to deny his love. I heard a testimony the other week from someone in our discipleship group. And she was saying that she'd been in a service where the preacher was talking about where Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And God knocks on the heart. And she was said, this particular day, she said it was like there was a literal knocking on the heart. And she opened her heart and asked Jesus in and found life in Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what he does for us. So we're chosen and then we are appointed by God to go and bear fruit. and fruit that will last. And this statement, you know, just reverberates from this platform. It does. Will said the other week that we are to go. And for each one of us, it might look different. But we're called and appointed to go. And again, this comes out in this passage. So if we're going to be obedient, if we're going to remain in his love, if we're going to know his joy, we need to go. And again, I know that Will mentioned it the other week. You know, that might be a scary thing to do, to go and tell somebody about God's love. But think of what he did on the cross. And think, he's worth it. He's worth it. You're telling someone that God loves them could change their life forever. And then there's the little bit that says, then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I've been pondering upon this as well. I'm going to show my age now. And when I was very, very young and out in the world, there used to be a song. I forget what it was. I'm a wanderer. I go round and round and round. I'm a wanderer. Does anybody remember that song? I know I was having a laugh with Jesus. I'm like, Lord, I'm a ponderer. I'm a ponderer. And I go round and round, and I do. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to ponder over his word, ponder over what he's saying to us. He loves that. You know, I'm always saying when I'm leading prayers, God loves to hear you. He loves to hear us. He loves us to ponder on the truth of the word. You know, I'm always saying, well, what's that mean then, Lord? What's that all about? But that's relationship. That's living relationship. But this year, whatever you ask in my name, I was pondering over this. And I have to say that I have prayed many things in Jesus' name. And I haven't seen my prayers answered. And I was thinking about this. So, does that mean that God doesn't love me? No, it does not. Does it mean that God doesn't answer my prayers? No, it does not. Does it mean that I doubt God? No, I don't. I do not doubt God, because God is God. He's always loving and he's always faithful, and his ways are better than my ways. Does it mean that I stop asking in Jesus' name? No, it does not. And I was thinking about this, and I don't know. But I was thinking, you know, the more time we spend in God's presence, and the more we get to know him, I'm thinking that our prayers will align more to his will, and we'll probably see more prayers answered. Does that make sense? You know, because often we just pray off the top of our head, don't we? But if we spend time in his presence, really, Lord, what do you feel about this? What do you feel about this sick person? Or what do you feel about these financial pressures? Really seek God. Find out his heart. Find out what he's saying. You know, I'm being transparent with you. You know, I'm seeking to grow in all, you know, in kingdom ways. I'm seeking to grow in my prayer life. And we just need the Holy Spirit to teach us, don't we? But really, it is about pressing in to an ever deeper, closer, intimate relationship with Jesus. And the closing bit of that passage reiterates again, love one another. We are to love one another with the unconditional love that God loves us. So I'm going to give you all a Valentine challenge. How about this Valentine Day? You, or this Valentine week, you ask God to give you an opportunity to tell somebody out there what he's told you this morning. God loves you. Does that seem like a good idea? A good challenge? Yeah. I'm going to be drawing things to a close in a minute. So, Andrew, if you would like to come and maybe start to play, I'm going to move into the last bit about what is our response to the love of Jesus. And I am going to offer a time of ministry at the end. And this is not for people to come forward to me, because I can't do anything. I'm just your sister in Christ. But I do think there is something, and I do it myself, I do think there is something about stepping out in faith and coming to Jesus with whatever. And I would encourage, if that word that Alice brought earlier about finances applies, you know, that would be the time to come. But in wrapping things up, I read this out of a youth Bible I've got, actually. God created us with a need for intimacy in him, a spiritual need that only he can meet. And Satan tempts us to think that this need can be met in other ways apart from God. Do not believe the lie, folks. Only God can satisfy your soul. Jesus desires to be that special person in our life. And in a minute, I'm going to lead us in a prayer of giving our hearts afresh to him today. And many of you know that I'm always saying that. When I lead prayers, I say I'm always giving him my life afresh, surrendering my life to him. Maybe, you know, maybe that's something that you've done before, but it could be that you've never done that. And when I pray, if that's you, come to the front. You know, when we're doing our last song, come to the front and get some prayer. Come to the front to meet with Jesus, not to meet with anyone else, but just to meet with Jesus. And finally, I felt God give me a very clear word. In Jeremiah 29:13, God says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity." And I sense that God may be speaking to someone and saying, "You have been captivated by things other than me. You've lost your first love and your passion for me. It's time to return to me, to seek me with all of your heart, and I will be found by you. And I will bring you back to the place of intimacy we once shared." If that speaks to your heart after the prayers, please come forward. Like I said, it's nothing to do with me. Jesus loves us so much. Right, I'm going to pray. And then Andrew, perhaps lead us into a song. And as we sing that last song, would you come as a sign that you are surrendering your heart afresh to him this morning? Maybe for the first time. Maybe there's just, I don't know, I just sense that he's
saying there's a meeting place with me this morning. So, Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you came. Lord God, we give our hearts to you afresh this morning. Thank you that when you died on the cross, Lord Jesus, you died there to take our sins. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for the ways that we fall short. Thank you that you forgive us our sins. Lord, would you cleanse us from all our sins this morning? Would you pour your spirit into our hearts? Would you fill us with a fresh passion for you this morning, Lord God? Oh, Father, we bless you. We magnify your name. We want to bring you glory in whatever we do, wherever we are. We give our hearts to you afresh this morning. We surrender our lives to you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Got a song, Andrew. Like I say, just come forward in the song. If you want to come forward, if you feel God's doing something in your life, I'll be here. And there's others that can pray.
You chose the cross with every breath, the perfect love, the perfect death. You chose the cross, a crown of thorns you wore for us, and crowned us with eternal life. You chose the cross, and though your soul was overwhelmed with pain, obedient to death you overcame. We're lost in wonder, we're lost in love, we're lost in prayer.